Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our church. And the notice is, the new post of youth and family worker that was agreed at the May church meeting has been followed through by the HR and staff care, and we are delighted that as a result of a successful interview, the post has been offered to Sally Butler, who has accepted. Well done. There will be a community tea at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and all are welcome. Here comes the big test. I'm very pleased to announce the engagement of Vortek Stepanyuk and Alice Charlton. Did I get it right? For those of you who remember him, Roy Lowes, will you believe it, is retiring. And there is a card at the back of the church which you may sign, and we wish you would sign, when the service is finished. And music. There was a good audience for the K3A Orchestra concert on Wednesday. And so Jim Kim and Rosalind Gonley gave a spirited rendering of Vivaldi's Concerto for two cellos and strings. The retiring collection raised £306, which will go to the Community Hub Appeal. There's a lunchtime recital on Thursday the 9th of July at 12:30. This one is entitled Sense of Summer. Local resident Julia Dewhurst, who is a soprano, accompanied by David Elwin on the piano, will sing songs by Delise, Vaughan Williams, Berlioz, Quitta and Dupac. Come along and bring your friends. The admission is free, but the retiring collection will be in aid of the community, aid of the Community Hub Appeal. Thank you.
Let us join to worship God. Let us praise the one who is God of life and God of death, whose mercies are new every morning. Let us wait for the salvation of our God, who turns our sorrow into joy and sets our spirits dancing. We join to sing, Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
We join together to pray. Let us pray. Living God, we thank you that you greet us and call each one of us by name. You touch us with your love. You touch our lives. You help us to praise and to serve you. And we come from the haste and busyness of our lives to respond to your touch, to respond to you who is the source, find you. We ask that you would forgive us for those times when touch has been used. We ask that you would forgive us when we have excluded others by our fear of difference. When we have labeled other people. When we have accepted stereotypes unthinkingly. Give us when we have pushed people to the edge. Thank you, O God, that you accept us all. Help us to share in the generosity of your welcome. Help us to share in telling others about the abundant love that people can know in Jesus. Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive debtors. And do not the kingdom, power, and glory forever and ever. Amen. So, some of you know, I'm just back from Poland, and all of you know something of what was going on there with the announcement of this great engagement. And Wojtek, soon to be son-in-law, has two parents, one who is very fluent in English and the other one who is really good at it but not fluent. And on a morning when we'd all meet up, Eva would say good morning and we'd all go good morning, but Wojtek's father, Wieszek, would say cześć, which is hello, good to see you, and walk around the room hugging everybody. He would hug everybody, and we all realised that, one, we're going to have to up the ante on our hospitality stakes when they come to Britain, and two, get used to not hugging everybody that we meet when we first say hello to them, which, you know, when we get back to the UK. And we are aware that sometimes people touch and do things that are wrong with their hands, and we're going to have stories today about things that people have done where people have thought they were behaving sinfully. But equally, there are people who would really, really, really love somebody to hug them. And they've got nobody to hug them. They just don't have it. Don't have children, don't have a partner, don't have a friend that they can say, could you give me a hug to? Yeah, it's true. Now, many of us are British. If I said to you, could you hug the person beside you? Unless you've been married to them for 50 years, you know, you'd all be giving me a bit of a stick. I get that. But could we all greet one another, using our hands and just saying, it's good to see you, I'm glad you're here, because your hands will communicate, maybe in the way that your mouth cannot. Good morning. Good morning. Yes. Hello, 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 hello. That's it. Enough with the hugging. That's it. Let's be British again. We will join to sing. Jesus' hands were kind hands. So we have the story of two women that Jesus encounters. Jesus, the one who breaks religious taboos, as does the first woman, and as does the father of the second one. And John Davis will read this story to us.
Jesus went back across to the other side of the lake. There at the lakeside, a large crowd gathered around him. Jairus, an official of the local synagogue, arrived, and when he saw Jesus, he threw himself down at his feet and begged him earnestly, "My little daughter is very ill. Please come and place your hands on her so that she will get well and live." Then Jesus started off with him. So many people were going along with Jesus that they were crowding him from every side. There was a woman who had suffered terribly from severe bleeding for 12 years. Even though she had been treated by many doctors, she had spent all her money, but instead of getting better, she got worse all the time. She had heard about Jesus, so she came to the crowd behind him, saying to herself, "If I just touch his clothes, I will get well." She touched his cloak, and her bleeding stopped at once, and she had the feeling inside herself that she was healed of her trouble. At once Jesus knew that power had gone out of him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples answered, "You see how the people are crowding you. Why do you ask who touched you?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. The woman realized what had happened to her, so she came, trembling with fear, knelt at his feet, and told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your trouble." While Jesus was saying this, some messengers came from Jairus' house and told him, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher any longer?" Jesus paid no attention to what they said, but told him, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Then he did not let anyone else go with him, except Peter and James and his brother John. They arrived at Jairus' house, where Jesus saw the confusion and heard all the loud crying and wailing. He went in and said to them, "Why all this confusion? Why are you crying? The child is not dead, she is only sleeping." They laughed at him. So he put them all out, took the child's father and mother and his three disciples, and went into the room where the child was lying. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I tell you to get up." She got up at once and started walking around. She was 12 years old. When this happened, they were completely amazed. But Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone, and he said, "Give her something to eat." Amen.
Amen. These are two stories of life in the raw. Passion, desperation. And it could be that all this passion could feel like it's a long way away from a reformed act of worship on a Sunday in Kingston. Until that is, my friends, you experience the intensity with which people moan about apparently small changes in liturgy, or the differences about preachers, or hymns, or dun-dun-dun-dun, hymn tunes. And you wonder what's all this about. And then you notice it in the whole of society. Increasingly, people blaming immigrants, or people battering each other in fights in supermarkets about trolleys, or crashing on their horn the minute there's a green light when they should be moving, or being able to rant for 20 minutes about bus lanes or bin collections, or even worse, wait for it, school applications. Wow, we are passionate people. Where does your passion go? Where does your passion go? If it does not go creatively in enhancing places, then there is a challenge that it might go in negative all-consuming, destructive directions. So, where does your passion go? The woman who has the flow of blood was once one of the gang. She was an ordinary citizen. She might have been happily married. She would have been part of the community. Her life was chugging on okay. And then some sort of gynecological disaster happened. And because of that, the woman who was once one of the gang is now outside the gang. And at one point, she wasn't poor. At one point, she had resources. And then you'll notice that she spent all she had and her life went down the tubes. So she would have sold her jewelry, spent her savings, and she was left with nothing. And in the Gospel according to Mark, she reaches out to touch him. Gospel according to Luke, she reaches out and touches the hem of his garment. So you could have it in Mark, you're here, but in Luke, she's right down here. She touches him, and she touches him on purpose. She does it deliberately. And he knows that somebody has done it. The leader of the synagogue throws himself at Jesus' feet. He needs help from this misbehaving outsider that is Jesus. "Help my child," he shouts. The child is a girl who is nearly dead. Is she worth all this effort and all this loss of reputation? Yes, she is, to Jairus. And yes, she is to Jesus as well. These are both people who grab the horrors of their lives and try to change things. These central figures in these stories are not prepared to shrug their shoulders in some sort of fatalistic way. They see an opportunity, they are desperate people, they go for it. They do not care what other people think. They want whatever it is, they want it so much. Do you know about that passion? If I'm walking and I see a small coin on the ground, I walk over it. If I see a note, I am prepared to bend. What are you prepared to bend for? In both of these stories, the person at the center makes themselves vulnerable and Jesus responds. Desperation is the uniting factor. So we have two stories of desperate people, Jairus and the woman with the flow of blood. They both behave in ways that are beyond what is acceptable in their culture. The woman touches Jesus. She has a flow of blood. That means she should be by herself. She should be away from everybody else. She comes into the crowd, which in her tradition would be sin number one. She comes into the crowd because somebody might accidentally touch her and be made unclean. But she deliberately touches Jesus, sin number two. And of course, Jesus wants to bring her in, and he calls her my daughter. Warm words. But Jesus, in terms of his culture, I'm not challenging the divinity of Jesus, in terms of his culture, he also sins because he is prepared to touch someone that he's been told is already dead. So they say to him, "Don't touch her, she's a corpse. speaking of Jairus' daughter. And Jesus takes the risk. Jesus knows and touches her, and she is healed. The woman with the flow of blood is a woman who is outside because of her illness. Her illness has meant that she is outside. The synagogue leader and his daughter are people who are really, really, really on the inside and yet still need help from Jesus. The girl has her father to advocate for her. He gets up. He speaks on her behalf. He embarrasses himself in public because he loves her so much. Have you ever been that desperate? Can you imagine what it's like? Some of us in our community here have fled their country or have seen their country split in two. And we will surely hear some echoes about desperation in when Shabom speaks to us later about the situation that she's working in Jordan with refugees from Syria. But most of us able-bodied, white, British people do not know about such things. Or is it that our desperation is more deeply buried? And also buried with a layer of guilt? Why should I be feeling sad? Why should I be feeling depressed? I have so much that I should be glad about. That's a song that people sing. So, what of our desperation? Are we facing it, or are we pretending that it doesn't exist? What about the sad truth that one day you're going to die? What about the truth that you're going to grow old? If things go well, you're going to grow old. If things go well, you're going to grow old. What about the truth that you're not in charge of everything? What about the truth that you might have less power today than you had yesterday? And the desperate reality of that. That our faculties are waning. Our eyes start to get worse from the age of 8 onwards. And then how grateful we are that our shoulders continue to grow to in our mid-20s. Isn't life peachy? Our faculties are waning. And even those who are young know the horror that this one day will be your reality too. So, in our desperation, do we look it in the eye and follow these people with their passionate intensity, or do we shrug our shoulders? Are we prepared to be those who will throw ourselves on our faces and will reach out with both hands and will grab him? Grab him, only him, because he has known our suffering and he can cope with our desperation. And his name, my friends, is Jesus. Let us be still, then we will pray. Loving God, give us the courage to ask you for what we need. Not the polite cucumber sandwiches version of what we say we need, but what we need right deep down inside of ourselves. And then, Lord Jesus, give us the faith to receive your gift. And we pray in your name. Amen. So we join together to sing, Christ's is the world in which we move.
Thank you.
Some of you may know that Sul He spent time working in Jordan. Sabomli is her pal, who is here for a short holiday, respite, having finished her degree, relaxing. So we're going to make her work all day here. Oh, Sabomli is going to give us a short time now about the situation in Jordan with the Syrian refugees. Then after that, I will lead us in prayer. If you feel you want to hear more, she'll be around at the 11:30 service, but more and better, she will be here making a major contribution to the 6:30 evening worship. Thank you for agreeing to speak to us. Okay.
Thank you for inviting me to your church. I am weak and I am lacking, but the Lord has shown me many things during 11 years in Jordan, and I saw I have come to share them with your church. Usually I use the Korean language to introduce Jordan, but the first time I will use English. I'm really blessed and thank you for giving me this chance to talk about Jordan and the situation of a refugee there. I feel that Jordan is a biblical site and is a rest area. Jesus Christ also took a rest in Jordan. You can find this in the Bible in John chapter 10. During the time of the Middle East War, many Palestine refugees came to Jordan and still account for 70% the population of Jordan. You will know about the continuing situation of the Arab Spring. Also, many Syrian refugees have fled to Jordan, Lebanon, and Turkey because of ISIS. Many Iraqi first went to Jordan in 2002, and they still continue to go. Jordan is not a rich country, but they accept them and are caring for them. This is why I call it a country of rest. Jordan is a biblical country. The Old Testament mentions Edom, Moab, Ammonites, and Amorites. The New Testament mentions the Decapolis, Berea, and Nabatean kingdom, about 100 places. Also, other places in Jordan mentions in the Bible, the Jordan River, where Jesus was baptized, Bethany, Mount Nebo, where Moses died, Machaerus, where John the Baptist passed away, and Mahanaim and Gilead. When the Israelites left Egypt, they camped in and passed through Jordan, and also had some war there. So Jordan is a biblical place and also a country of rest. 11:30 worships, I will show the short film about Syrian refugee. I hope too that many Christian persons pray for peace of Middle East, especially Syrian refugee and Iraq refugee. And 6:30 p.m., I will show some picture of Jordan and Jordan refugee during evening time. If you would like to find out more, please come back then. Thank you.
Thank you. We join together to pray. God, who welcomes all, we pray for those countries in our world which are poorer and yet are welcoming those who are displaced. And particularly on this day, we pray for the people of Jordan. We pray for those whose situation is so desperate that they would leave their country and flee. For those who lack the security of home, for refugees forced to flee by war or conflict, those who live on the streets of Britain, those who fall between the gaps in our benefit system and are the invisible people, we pray in our own country that we would have the ability to discuss migration and immigration in a way that does not divide us. That allows us to accept people who need our help. We pray for those around the world who are working to help those who have been displaced. And for those around the world who are working to overcome prejudice, ignorance, and fear. Those who break the silence to speak out against injustice. Those who campaign for change. And God, who is a God of peace and a God of justice, we hold up before you the debate that rages among us about what to do about ISIS. What to advocate to our government. God, we pray for peace. We pray for those that we know who have asked us to pray for them. Those that we know and love who are unwell, unhappy, desperate. God of compassion, God of tenderness, we bring our prayers and we bring them with confidence because we bring them in the name of Jesus. Amen. From the earliest of times, before there was a church, God's people have brought their offerings. Our offerings will now be received. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have called us and touched us. You have beckoned us, and here we are. In our frailty, we offer ourselves. And as a sign of that, we offer these gifts of money. Receive the gifts we bring, and may the lives that we live be to your glory, Lord Jesus. May you be the center of the lives we live. Amen. Our final hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. God has welcomed us as God's people. We have heard God's words of love. We have been touched by God's grace. May we go on our way, reaching to the limits of our compassion, to share God's hospitality with friend and with stranger. In the name of Jesus, amen.